T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining me on the line is Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Jacobs School of Medicine. Dr. Russo, thanks again for joining us. The big talk over the past couple of days has been the president wanting to reopen the country, wanting to get back to normal. Yesterday, he said Easter in a few weeks. Is that feasible to you, looking at what we know about the virus and about the spread, that we could go back, have everyone back at work in a few weeks from now?
Yeah, I'm really not at all excited about that, particularly in Western New York at this time. We're really at a critical tipping point in terms of which direction this is going to go with the number of cases. And so I think more than ever, we need to really sort of practice our social distancing and almost up our game a little bit here at this point, so we don't end up with the situation that we're seeing elsewhere, for example, downstate.
Yeah, what do you mean by that, the tipping point? Is that just, you know, we have so much community spread already here that it can maybe go one of two ways? If we all stay inside, we can maybe tamper that down, but it's almost at a point where if only a few people don't listen, that can spread rapidly?
Absolutely. So the total number of cases that we've diagnosed in Erie County as of last night was 121. However, we know that we probably only detect about 10% of the cases, based on that we're not testing everyone, based on a certain number of individuals who are asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic and don't interface with healthcare. So if you do the math on that, we probably have 1,000-plus cases in Erie County. So as the number of cases increases, obviously then the magnitude of spread can increase. And so we can't be complacent at this point. We say, 121, that's not many cases. It's all good compared to downstate. But that could rapidly change. And so I think we need to be cognizant of we still have a chance to keep this under control here.
We've seen the numbers rapidly change right across the U.S. They're growing by at least, and this is just the confirmed cases, like 10,000 every single day over the past few days.
Exactly. And this virus has shown it could spread extraordinarily rapidly. And that's why it's more important than ever that here in Western New York, we really pull together and try to minimize that scenario here while we have a chance. Since I think we got onto these measures a little sooner than certainly downstate. So I'm optimistic that we could still flatten that curve and minimize the number of cases, which is obviously going to be good for everyone involved.
So you don't think, as some people say, that we can, you know, quote unquote, do both, that we can go back to work, but, you know, as long as we're washing our hands and maybe staying a little bit of a distance from each other, mitigate the spread?
I think with these more severe measures in place, we could see the virus seems to be sort of increasing almost unbounded in certain parts of the country. So, you know, I think it would be difficult to expect if we relax those rules a little bit that we'll be okay. And plus, human nature is human nature. Even when we put these sort of public health guidelines or dictums in place, we know that everyone doesn't pay attention and they get together and really exacerbate the situation.
I've been seeing some people say online that if everybody, I mean, truly stopped for a 2-week period, like stayed at home, almost a complete lockdown scenario, that the virus would basically be gone Do you agree with that? Is that, you know, true? If everybody really locked down, that we could take care of this in just a 2-week period?
No, I don't think. I think we could severely dampen the number of cases, but I don't think the virus is going to disappear like the original SARS virus did. And I think the reason that is that people that are asymptomatic still are carrying and infected with the virus. And so it's going to be, I think this is a virus that we're probably going to be stuck with for years to come. So you say, well, that doesn't sound great. But the hope is then as we develop immunity, whether through infection or really the real hope is through vaccination, like influenza, we'll be able to control this.
Yesterday, we were told that testing, you know, at this point in the game, it doesn't really matter because we're being told to kind of act as if we all are carrying the virus, as if anybody could have the virus and it's everywhere. But does testing matter in the terms of allowing people to get back to normal? Can we really safely go back out if there isn't, you know, ramped up testing?
Well, sort of yes and no. Obviously, we'd love widespread testing and for multiple purposes. One, we'd like that for healthcare purposes. So when someone comes to the emergency room and hospital, we know whether they're infected or not, so we could ration personal protective equipment, room utilization, et cetera. Plus, people would like to know, right? There's a lot of anxiety associated with this. So when people develop symptoms and we're all tuned into our bodies, right? Every little this or that, we say, oh my gosh, this is it. So we'd like to know as individuals. But I think on the short term, if we all take the strategy that if we're feeling well, if we maintain social distancing and hand hygiene, because it's really the only thing we could do at this point while we're waiting for some drugs and the vaccine to catch up. And if you're ill, that you stay home, or if you've been in contact with someone that's ill, you stay home. Functionally, at least on the short term, that should do the equivalent of minimizing the spread of virus.
Most everything we learn about this virus, at least for me, when I hear something new, it kind of seems extra alarming, but I think that's partly because I don't really know anything about any other viruses, so I don't have stuff to compare it to. But when you hear about how long this might be able to last on surfaces, you know, a 2-week period or more, or how it's transmitted airborne, does this look like a particularly resilient virus, that it can withstand a lot more than normal? Or is that normal for things like the flu to be able to last that long on surfaces and so forth?
Yeah, that property is common for a lot of respiratory viruses. And this particular, the new coronavirus, is no different in the stability in the environment than the original SARS environment. And remember, we were able to go ahead and stop that. I think the key difference with this is more infectious. And it's probably more infectious because individuals that are asymptomatic are probably spreading the virus, and perhaps they're shedding larger amounts of virus into the environment. So remember, when a virus gets into the environment, it's not only a question of stability, but how much gets out. So if you have a ton on a surface, it's going to last a lot longer than if you just have a little bit.
We talked a lot about going back to work and getting back to that normal. I think for a lot of people, they just want to know, you know, when can I feel safe to invite a friend or two over, or have my family together in a small group setting, because that's really what's kind of, I don't know, a little grating to people, not even really being able to do that without that fear in the back of their head. Is there an answer to that right now?
Well, there's not a perfect answer, and given the fact that individuals that are asymptomatic may be shedding the virus and therefore be infectious, you know, makes this situation problematic. But in terms of advice, I would say that if the individuals involved have not been infected or had any symptoms, I should say, nor have they been in contact with anyone that's had symptoms, I think, you know, gatherings of small numbers of individuals, and I'm really just talking small numbers of individuals, 2, 3, or 4 maybe, can, the risk will not be zero, but somewhat safe if, when they get together, they practice a modicum of social distancing as well, as in no hugs, no kissing, maintain a distance, don't share utensils, food, things like that. The risk isn't zero, but, it, you know, at least It'll be some sort of reasonable balance in terms of avoiding sort of isolation versus propagating spread.
One more before we let you go. I'm interested from the hospital, the healthcare side of things. There's been a great effort to kind of ramp up supplies, to get everybody totally prepared before an onslaught of cases come your way. How do you think we're doing on that measure? Are you seeing more supplies come in? Are you confident that healthcare systems, healthcare workers won't be overwhelmed?
I think that we're in much, much better shape here in Western New York than downstate, whereas, as you are aware of, they've really become overwhelmed. And that's why I'm really trying to emphasize this is the critical point for us to really try to flatten that curve and minimize the cases. We want to buy some time. We want to buy some time so that we could get some additional resources in place as we're opening up new hospital spaces and getting new equipment into the area, such as ventilators and protective equipment. We also want to buy time for the development of drugs and eventually a vaccine. And one of the bits of information I would like to, you know, share with you and your listeners is that the University of Buffalo right now is in the process of trying to get some clinical trials in place, some of the most promising agents that may be effective against this new virus. That's going to take a little bit of time as well. But that will really be great for our Western New York population so that for those individuals that if they become critically ill, at least we may have some options. We won't know if they're going to work or not, but some additional options other than supportive therapy to help them get through this.
Dr. Russo, thank you so much as always. It's Dr. Tom Russo, the Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Jacobs School of Medicine at UB.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.